Now, here's a little Marie Kondo exercise for you. Take a listen. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Okay, that's happy for Earl Williams. Does that spark joy? I'm sure it does. Well, okay, how about this next song? All I want is desire. That is Eaten by the death metal band Bloodbath. It's a song about cannibalism. Did that spark joy? Did it perhaps fill you with a violent urge, if only to turn off the song, perhaps? Let's talk about this, because according to my guest, it is more likely to have sparked joy than violence. Yes, listening to violent music doesn't make you more susceptible to violent behaviour. Dr. Bill Thompson will argue this. He is both a professor of psychology and director of the Music, Sound and Performance Lab at Macquarie University. He has conducted a decades-long study measuring the emotional effects of music. Bill, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm not particularly a Bloodbath fan, I've got to tell you, after that. Are they your cup of tea?
Well, I'm learning more and more to appreciate them and other death metal bands.
All right. So death metal, is it a threat to the community? Does it spark violence?
Yeah, I think that's the main question. There's a long history of research on media violence. It includes gaming and television violence and so forth, mm-hmm. and now music. And the worry is that exposure to music that has violent lyrical themes might eventually make people more aggressive or desensitize them to instances of aggression outside of a musical context, such as real life. And what we're finding is that, no, it doesn't seem to desensitize them to aggression.
It's interesting. I mean, it's not just the lyrics. I mean, that as a musical form has a sort of an inherent violence about it. It's a wall of fairly angry sound.
Yeah, that's right. Certainly to an outsider, it has all the ingredients of a very aggressive sound. It has kind of growling sounds, screaming sounds. It's a very low-pitched vocal quality, and there's often distortion in the music that gives the impression of aggression, and then it's supplemented with lyrics that are often in death metal music violent or contain violent themes. So yes, it, to an outsider, it sounds
we
violent.
Can see how people get this inappropriate impression.
You can see how they get the impression.
Well, okay. How then do you assemble some empiricism around this? How do you examine the psychological effects of music on listeners? How do you measure it?
Yeah. So, you know, firstly, we just looked at what fans and non-fans experience and showed that the fans of death metal music tend to experience emotions such as empowerment and joy, transcendence, peace. And the one thing that they don't really experience too much is anger, which is kind of counterintuitive. And it goes against what some of the religious groups, the parent groups, concerned politicians have worried about, that this music may be fueling a kind of angry adolescence and making them more angry, but it seems to have the opposite effect. So one way is just to measure the experiences that people have, and the other way is to look at desensitization. And I can tell you a little bit about that if you like.
Go on.
Okay. So desensitization just means that if you're exposed to enough violence, you become habituated to it, it's normalized, I guess, in your existence. So when you see violence or experience it in everyday life, you're kind of immune to it. It doesn't bother you. And the worry is that if it doesn't bother you, then you may enable it, you may mm-hmm. not participate in it, and you certainly might not worry too much if you witness it. And so that's the concern, that over long periods of time you'd become desensitized. Now, to study it, if you can just ask people and say, well, you know, do you react to violence? But it's a little hard to believe people when you ask them in an experiment when they know what the experiment's about. So we use this procedure called binocular rivalry, which is an interesting technique that gets at subconscious processes, and I'll just explain how it works. You present two images, one to each visual field, like left eye and right eye, and the brain can't process both of them at once. So what happens is that people tend to perceive one of those two images, and then the other, and then back to the first, and it sort of alternates. And you have no conscious control over this. This just happens, and it's being done at a subconscious level. So what it tells you is the brain's propensity to process different types of images. And what we find with most people is that if there's a violent image, the brain will dwell on that vile image for longer. It's as if the brain is attentive to potential threats. And so it will process that violent imagery for longer. And so the hypothesis was, you know, if people are experiencing desensitization to violence, that the brain wouldn't do that for fans of say, violent music. But that's not what we found. We found that, in fact, they did not have this desensitization. There was no difference between the fans and non-fans in terms of how they processed these violent images.
It's interesting about the emotional response, though, because we know that music works at a very emotional level to us. I mean, intuitively, we know that. Sad music makes us sad. Happy music makes us happy. Why should there be this missing connection then between music which is angry and violent? Why does that not, in that same way, spark that response?
Yeah, that's one of the other motivations of studying this. We were kind of interested in these almost paradoxical responses to music, whereby people listen to music that sounds really sad, and they experience a kind of sense of wonder, of awe, of nostalgia, a series of positive emotions to music that sounds, you know, kind of negatively valenced in terms of emotion. And the same can be said of aggressive or violent music, whereby people, the fans, are somehow transforming this aggressive wall of sound into a feelings of empowerment and joy and peace and transcendence. So they're somehow able to attend to the positive qualities of that music and not be drawn into any kind of negative emotional experience.
What wonderful and complex beings we are, Bill. Thank you so much for walking us through that.
Thank you.
Bill Thompson, he's Professor of Psychology, Director of the Music, Sound and Performance Lab at Macquarie University.